Thank you, Nick. Let's all stand together, take our Bibles, and turn to Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15. We'll read a few verses here. We'll start at verse number 11. Last week, we looked at the prodigal son. And we saw how he got himself in trouble. Today, we're going to look at the good part of the story. He gets himself out of trouble. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, we'll start. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That's where we left him last week. Verse 17, we pick it up. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless us, Lord, as we look a continuation of what we started last week. Father, we saw how we can get ourselves into trouble. And Lord, I pray this week as we look at this story that you'd speak to our heart and just help us to not make the mistakes the prodigal made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. By way of very brief review, we looked at the story last week. Of course, the word prodigal, which we use for the son, means wasteful. And this young man was wasteful. We're looking at what we would say would be a wasteful life. Last week, we saw the prodigal's problem. His problem was, he made bad decisions. Bad decisions always get us to wherever we're at when we get in trouble. We saw the son demanded of his father to have his portion of this inheritance. Usually they waited until the father had passed on, and then it was divided to them. They worked with their father up until that time, but the son didn't want that. This son wanted to have his freedom to do his own thing. So the son takes off with his newfound wealth. He travels into another country, afar off, and he thinks that what he's doing will lead to happiness. But as we saw last week, it didn't. We saw that the party only lasted as long as the money. Once the money ran out, the party was over. And then he ended up in the pig pen of life. The reason he ended up in pig pen is because he made bad decisions. We reminded ourselves last week that a lot of the decisions we make in our life are based on what we want and what we think will get us to what we want. And a lot of times, if we're making those decisions on our own, we're not going to get there. The problems the prodigal had last week is that he based his decisions on what he lived for. He lived for himself. On who he lived for. He lived for himself, and he based his decisions on what he lived for. He wanted to live for a life that he thought would bring him happiness. Now, we left him last week in the pig pen. He's going to get out this week. What is the key? Verse 17. Look at the beginning of verse 17. It says, and when he came to himself. We call that coming to your senses. Now, he took the very, very wrong and hard road to get there. But as he sat there in the pig pen, by the way, to the Jews, pigs are what's the word? Not kosher, or they're just bad. Forbidden animals, non-kosher, dirty. And here he is sitting in the pig pen with the pigs, desiring their food, starving. Pigs were eating better than he was. And as he's sitting there in this mess and no one's helping him, he's like, at least he got to this step. He's like, this is dumb. This doesn't make sense. And he starts to think it through. He came to his senses. He sat and pondered his situation. You know, by the way, let me say this. There are a lot of people that never come to their senses. They live in these situations, they live in these problems, and they never sit and realize what got them there. And they continue on. They live themselves into the pig pen of life and believe that they are destined to stay there. By the way, if you feel like your life's in the pig pen and you feel like you can't get out, you're not destined to stay there. Not if you're saved. If you're there, you're a visitor. If you're there, you shouldn't be there. And so many people are fatalistic in their life, like, that's just who I am. That's just how things are. Who says that? Read your Bible. Your Bible doesn't say that. See, we settle for the pig pen life when we don't have to settle for the pig pen life. I'll give him credit. He didn't settle. He thought it through. Many people believe they can't get out. Many people are just, it's just such a struggle. Well, life is a struggle sometimes, but you can get out. You can dig your way out of the pig pen, but it'll never happen until we come to our senses. Got to think it through. We see him doing the right thing for once in the whole story when he comes back to his father. And by the way, how did he get out of the pig pen? He decided to go back to the right place and to do the right thing. Now, here's the key this morning. I'll give you a couple points here. When we come to our senses, what we do is we reconcile our situation. We reconcile the situation we are in with the faulty thinking we had that placed us there in the first place. We don't just look at the situation and say, man, this is horrible, this is bad, I don't want to be here. We look at our situation and we figure out, here's what I was thinking, here's what I was doing, and it led to here, and we connect the dots. Once we do that, we're coming to our senses. Now we know what we need to do to get out of there. By the way, you're never going to do that if you're blaming others. Well, I'm here because of so-and-so. Well, let me just say this. Maybe someone, you know, I had a really horrific upbringing, and I'm sure that led me to get here. So are you going to let your bad upbringing trap you there? No. You can overcome that. Well, you know, this person just, and I have this thing, and that, don't blame others. I don't care why you're there. Step up and say, I'm going to get out. You can't blame others. We can't do it if we're ignorant of our actions. See, sometimes people come and, you know, I need to talk to you. I have this situation in my life, and I'm trying to get out of this situation because it's causing me a problem. And it's like, well, the reason you're in the problem is because of what you're, I don't want to hear that. Well, then you can't get out. The actions are always going to place you there. And if you're not willing to deal with the actions, you're stuck where you're at, and you're never going to get out. And by the way, if you jump out of that pig pen for a minute, you're going to end up in a pig pen over there. We've got to figure out it's a part of our actions. And we'll never get out if we're not willing to submit to God and what he wants us to do. But many people don't get there. What did the prodigal do? He reconciled some things. Three things he reconciled. Number one, he reconciled his decisions with the payoffs. What do I mean? Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He got there, verse 14 says, because he wasted his money. 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And then he says, and I'm perishing with hunger here. What he was saying is, I left my father's house, that's where I was taken care of, and now I'm starving to death. He put the two together. It was his decision that led to the bad payoff. He thought, wow, it's exciting. I can go over here and do my own thing. By the way, doing your own thing always looks exciting for a little bit. But you know, there's always a payoff. Hebrews tells us about Moses. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By the way, it says the pleasures of sin. Do you know, let me just say this, sin is fun. For a while. For a while. And then it's bad. It's like if you eat, when I was in Bible college, I almost lived on my bus route. I was up there all day on Saturday, and I had a couple of these Greek shops on my block, and they had a baklava. How many of you know what baklava is? It's Greek for heaven. It's these little pastries just loaded with honey. And that's what I ate. But can I tell you something? I can't even eat them anymore. They're so rich, and I lived on them for 5 years of college. It tastes so delicious. Ate 6 or 7 of them. What happens? Ain't delicious anymore. Your stomach's churning. It's exciting to do my own thing. It is for a while, but it gets old fast. There's always, look, the party life. Everybody thought he was the greatest guy in the world. And, hey, this guy has the money. What are we doing tonight? He ran out of money. What are we doing tonight? I ain't got any money. See you later. You have to understand that where you're at in your life is a result of the actions and decisions that you have made. We made decisions to get ourselves into pig pen. We've done some things. That's how we got there. We got to reconcile. I'm here because of that. And if we never do that, we won't change that, and we'll continue to live here. He made a couple statements that showed that he got it. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? You know what he finally realized? God takes care of his children. See, he thought, doing my own thing, that's the way to joy. And then he's like, look where I'm at. But when I was at home, just not even my brother and my mom and the relatives. It's the hired servants. They're eating better than I am. It's the hired servants. They have so much more. The reason we get ourselves into trouble in the first place is because we don't realize that God is good. Satan's going to throw it in your ear. God, especially the younger you are, if you follow God, he's holding out on you. You're missing out on life. There's something exciting over here, and God is keeping you from that. Let me just tell you something. That's not true. You know what God is holding you out from? The pig pen. You know what God is holding us out from? The misery. Well, I'll do my own thing, and I'll do this. How's that working out in our country? We've kicked God so far away, and our country is going downhill. Marriages are at an all-time low, high, and divorces. Single parents, it's all over the place. Our schools resemble a war zone. They don't even teach them math and English. They teach them nonsense. Someone was telling me that one of the kids in school, they got a paper. This was in our public school, teaching them the similarities between George Bush and Hitler. Now this isn't a political thing, but you've got to be serious. We it's all an agenda-based thing. Hey, serving God is good. Our country has kicked God out, and things aren't better. But Christians do that. I just want enough of God to placate my conscience, but I'll do whatever I want to do. No, God's good. Best thing you could ever do with your life is realize that God takes care of his children. By the way, let me say this. You don't have to live in the pig pen to figure that out. You see, now, many of us got, especially our type of church, many of us, we got saved and later on in life. How many of you... you've been a Christian pretty much your whole life, raised in a Christian home. Raise your hand. Let's go. That's not many. That's not many. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up doing my own thing. I was so bad, I hung around with Robert Ramirez. I was bad. Okay? Robert's like, he was so bad, he hung around with... I hung around with Johnny Esposito. That was horrible. Okay? I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I know what the other side of the fence is like. Yep. And it's junk. It's one of the things I couldn't understand when I first started going to church. And I wasn't really with the youth group. I was kind of like middle-aged ground. But I'm talking to these kids that grew up in church, and I'm around them. They're talking about going out and getting into nonsense. And I'm like, hey, what are you guys talking about that for? I just came out of that. You don't want to go there. And they couldn't understand that. But you don't need to go to get dirty to realize clean is good. Okay? Just trust it. That's not God's ideal. You know what God's ideal is? You're born, you're getting the nursery, your first time you come to church, and that's where you're raised. You don't ever have to, that stuff's not good out there. You don't have to go away from God to realize God's good. You know, we call that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know what? It looks greener on the other side of the fence, but it still has weeds, and it still needs to be watered, and it still needs to be mowed. And you can't really tell how green yours is until you get away from it. The grass isn't greener spiritually away from God. God's good. He also realized that, hey, God takes care of his children, and living for yourself brings famine. He's starving to death. What is the famine we're talking about when we live for ourselves? You know, when we live our lives solely for ourselves, there's a famine of fulfillment. Now, everybody's looking for fulfillment in life. I just want to live a life where I get up in the morning like, man, I have a reason to live, and I'm fulfilled in what I'm doing. That doesn't come by just living for you. There's more to this world than just you. It comes by living for God. But there's a famine. Like, what am I doing? You can attain the greatest success you want. You can have all the money you want. But if you have no real purpose in life, you're empty inside. There's a famine there. There's a reason millionaires kill themselves. Everybody loved Robin Williams. Obviously, something was wrong. I'm not getting on him. That's just what happens sometimes in life. See, what we thought would bring us joy, we get there, and it's like, there's no joy. I thought that would bring me ultimate happiness, and I've spent my life doing it, and I'm getting there, and I'm like, wow, it doesn't. But nobody who fully serves God ever feels that way. I've given my life to the Lord, and I've served him, and it's like, I'm empty. There's nothing there. It doesn't work that way. That comes from living the selfish life. There could be famine in our families. You know, people love their children. They want what's best for their children. Unless parents are just completely out there, they want what's best for their families. But in so many cases, they don't know what it is. By the way, it's not playing in the local baseball league. Most parents spend their time just running their kids all over the place because that's fulfillment in life. If my kid plays soccer here and he plays baseball there and he's over here in this and all these things, I'm not saying they shouldn't be involved in some things. But listen, by the way, being in a sports league where they're playing on Sundays, no one needs to be in that. And by the way, you sit with that and you're bringing your kids around some other kids and you're going to have some issues there. Okay? What is fulfilling in my family? Following God together. Brother Panetti was talking about yesterday, his kids and soul winning, and they get to go out here and they're excited about what they're doing, and they're living a full life, but their life isn't just revolving around themselves. And by the way, I like sports. My boys play on the teams, and we're out watching the football game on Friday and all that stuff, and I'm into it, and the basketball and all that, but that's not the most important thing in their life. I'm glad they enjoy it, and I hope we stomp the other team. Hate losing. And I don't want to win by 6. I want to win by 60. We'll be sportsmen. We'll shake their hands. But you know what? Once they're out of school, yeah, we have the summer leagues. We all go out there and think we're Michael Jordan and we're not. Okay? But the character and the other stuff, that's more important. So he reconciled those things. Number 2, he reconciled his actions with his relationships. What does that mean? He had to honestly look and see how the actions strained and changed the relationships in his life. Verse 15 says this. He left his father, and verse 15 says, who does he end up with? And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Verse 18, I'll rise, go to my father, and will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. See, he left his father because he wanted to do his own thing. So who's he stuck with now? Some guy. Somebody he's working with that's not even taking care of him. He's working for the guy, and he's starving. Someone didn't have any vested interest in him, and yet here was his father that would have taken care of him. That relationship was strained because he took off wanting to do his own thing. The things that we do affect our relationship. What a bad trade-off. Here's a guy, I want to get ahead in life. Money is the most important thing. So they spend their whole life, all the overtime they can handle, working as much as they can. Everything is their job. And, well, I'm doing it for my family. Hey, mister, your family doesn't want your money. Believe it or not, they want you. Now, maybe your wife doesn't. They want you around. Okay, well, that's mom's job to men. That's mom's job to raise the kids. No, it isn't. It's your job. They need dad around. They need dad in the home. By the way, that is not sissy. I got my own thing, and I'm not going to. You know that macho stuff? I'm all for macho, but that's garbage. Your kids need you, believe it or not. And they would rather have, but, you know, I bought them a bike, and I bought them this and that. And they got their little PS12 or whatever's up next. No, they would rather have mom and dad around. Okay, and there's bad trade-offs everywhere. Don't let anything affect your relationships. He realized that his father loved him so much he could just go back to his father with nothing. He said, I will arise and go to my father. You know what he had to bring back? Nothing. His inheritance was gone. By the way, he wasn't getting any more. But he could go back to his father and be taken care of because his father loved him. I like how he prepared the speech. You know, I'm going to tell my dad this. I got this speech. I'm sorry. You know, I don't want to be your son. You can just hire me. And he has his speech. Man, he hardly gets his speech out. Dad just attacks him. Dad sees him, and that's my son. Let's have a party. Yeah. Don't let anything destroy your relationships. Actions destroy relationships. Living for ourselves destroys relationships. Don't let that happen. He saw that his father would take him back with nothing, but yet the people he thought were his real friends that he left his father for, when he had nothing, they left him. Yep. And isn't that the definition of someone who is not a friend? They're only with you as long as they're getting something out of the relationship. That's not how it works with real friends and real family. By the way, we're teaching on friends in our Sunday school class, and really a friend is not something you have. A friend is something you are. You really care about people. A British publication once offered a prize. Their publication had a contest, and they said, we want someone to turn in the best definition of what a friend is. And they had, like, I think it was a cash prize. The winning definition was, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. And by the way, the closer we are to God, the better our relationship to God is, the better our relationships with other people are going to be. So, well, I have trouble in my relationships and you know, my family and this and guys I work with. How do I get better at that? Just be a better Christian. Yeah. Learn more of the principles of God's word, because they all work out. But his actions were killing his relationship. And then the last thing is this. He reconciled his pride with his current position. He looked at where he was at and realized it was his pride. He knew more than anybody else what was best for him. That's pride. I'm not going to ask my father about what I should do. I'm going to demand from him that he give me my inheritance. That's pride. When a person's proud, they won't listen to anybody or anyone, and a lot of times, that includes God. The Bible tells us to be humble. Now, humility's hard, because once you think you got it, you don't. Man, I got this humility thing down. That's pride. You don't have it. No, I'm humble. I know. That's why there's no books. How do I obtain humility? Doesn't work. Now, we can either try to humble ourselves, but and by the way, humility is not some false thing. I'm humble. Look at me. No, that doesn't work either. We can either humble ourselves or, you know what, God will help us. You ever think God brings situations to our life just to show us, like, hey, buddy, you are not in control? By the way, we all like control, right? Man, if I'm in a car, I want to be the one driving. Why? If there's an accident, I want to be the one causing it. Okay? And if I let my kids drive, I probably will be in an accident. You know, I just like, I want to be the one. We're all like that. But it doesn't work that way in life. And God has a way of letting us know, listen, I'm in control. You are not in control. But he was proud. James tells us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift thee up. By the way, if we are full of pride, we will not listen to God. It's more than just saying, I'm better than Brother Pichardo. I'm better than Brother Pineda. These guys don't know. I know more. It's more than that. Because pride takes the place of God. And we think so highly of ourselves. How did his pride show itself? He wanted what he thought was his. Father, give me. By the way, that is pride because he didn't earn that. That was a gift from his father. That was what his father had earned in his lifetime. He was giving to his son as an inheritance because he loved him. What did he do to earn it? Not much, because as we saw, he did not even know what to do with it. See, we think, God, you owe me this. God owes us nothing. God, give me what is mine. Don't pray that. Lord, I want what I deserve. Now, let me just say, if you ever hear someone pray that, here's what you do. Back up. Say, Lord, put the hedge of protection around me because I know what's coming. No. You know the children of Israel? Would to God we die in the wilderness. God says, okay, I can do that. No, we don't deserve anything. You know what the key to being grateful is? Realizing we don't deserve anything, so anything we have is a bonus. Yep. Amen. Here's a person like, man, I wish I had more, and just life isn't treating me fair. That's probably why you don't have more, and even if you had more, you'd still act like that. But here's a person that says, you know what? I really don't deserve anything, and anything I have comes from God anyhow, so Lord, I'm thankful for whatever you give me. Bingo. Yep. That's where you want to be. We don't want to be proud. Don't have this sense of it. We have this society that has a sense of entitlement. You know. By the way, if you're not careful, you spoil your little children. They think that they should have everything. Here's a word you need to tell your children. No. Just every now and then. Hey, Dad, I want to give you $10. No. Okay, yes. You know, look, every time your little kid goes to a store, can I get this? It's like, and by the way, I love my kids. And it's like, you know, he goes, hey, you know, can I have that? And you want to give it to him? It's like, no, not that. You know, why? It's not your birthday. No. Now, sometimes it's like, you know what? I'll get you something. Where's the 99-cent aisle? You know, it's okay. But it's okay for them to know, you know what? No. And watch how they react. If they react, what? You've been saying yes too often. Okay. But we want them to appreciate what they get. God wants us to appreciate what we get, that stewardship. And really, so what's the opposite of pride? I don't deserve anything. See, the prodigal had to reconcile these things in his mind. He had too much pride. That's where he ended where he was. He had these actions in his life that were ruining his relationships. And he made decisions, and that's what was causing the bad payoffs in life. He came to his senses. Now, are there areas in your life where there are some struggles? Have you ever sat down and tried to put into place, why is that happening? Is there something I'm doing? Look at the relate. Is there something that I'm doing? Look at what's going. Oh man, it's just, I can't believe the things that are going on in my life. Are there decisions you're making that are causing that? And you need to come to your senses and realize, what do I need to do to get it right? And by the way, he got it right. And he went back to his father, and everything was restored. Come to your senses. Don't just settle for where you're at. Get to where God wants you to be. Think it through, spiritually speaking. Let's pray. Let's all stand together this morning.